The Touchdown City Show is presented by Masters Law Firm, West Virginia's personal injury lawyers, and Parmar Stores. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be one soon. Coming to you from the Stone Church Studio in St. Albans, West Virginia, this is the Touchdown City Show.
We have offensive coordinator Chad Scott. Questions for Coach Scott.
Chad sort of asked this of others, but what don't you know until you play a game?
What don't I know until we play the game? Well, how the guys going to come out and react? You know, we've been playing against each other now for almost a month. And so, you know, you get guys that, you know, get all nerved up and in terms of, you know, how they're going to go out, particularly some young guys, some new guys, transfer guys who got in, just going to have them guys can go out and respond, you know, right away in game-like situations. And obviously, you know, things you don't know, you know, we know what we know based off what we've seen off film, but we've all had a lot of time to prepare, you know. So when you get a lot of time to prepare, you got a lot of different – you know, minds that come up with different things. So a lot of things you don't know is what you think you know what you're going to see, but you also go out there and see some adjustments, some things that you hadn't seen as well.
Any experience against Manny Diaz?
I have experience from playing at Troy back in like 2000, I think. Seven, something, yeah. So I don't – not a lot of recollection.
No. Yeah. So, but style-wise and what he's going to do defensively, pressure-wise, things like that. I mean, that's kind of been a staple with him through his career.
Yeah, it has. And we've had a lot of time to prepare for it. Obviously, when you look at the season from last year, they presented something differently every game. They're different from what they were when they started the season to what they finished the season. And so we can expect, to see something different, at least early on. Obviously, people are who they are, so, eventually they'll get back to their base and things that we have prepared for, but we can expect to definitely see something different than what we've seen thus far.
How much do you preoccupy? I mean, obviously when you study them, you're going to look at what you see and you work off that.
Right.
Then how much enters your mind about things that they can do off of that? Do you preoccupy your mind with that a lot, or do you just worry about what you see and then adjust as you go?
You just worry about what you see and adjust as you go because – you know, we got to do what we're good at first off. And, we show the guys, what we've seen and, the things that we've seen multiple times from what they've shown. But the best thing we can do is be great at what we're great at and match the things that we're great at and see all the things that they've shown us multiple times and make sure that the things that we're good at works well against whatever it is they're going to bring to us. So it's a lot of unknown, but, best thing we can do is stick with what we're great at.
So there's lots of talk about four running backs this camp and how well they've played. Can you get four guys touches in a game?
Well, when you got you like to say no, but, you come out, first game with the jitters and the, just anxiety of going out there and playing, you may get some guys that may be fatigued early on, and I want to do a great job keeping those guys fresh. We got got a good mixture of, big guys and some smaller guys. So it's going to be critical for me to keep those guys fresh so we get the best version of each and every last one of them. And obviously, one of them gets hot, gets going, and, adrenaline gets rolling. We'll stick with that hot hand. But, like I said, initially you would say no. But the good thing about us is, they're versatile in what they can do. And so it's, opportunities for those guys to get the ball in their hands without just handing it to them as well.
You study them, obviously they've got good players at all three levels. Mm-hmm. Is there one area when you guys turn on a tape and go, whoa?
Yeah, third down and long. We want to stay out of those situations. Third and long, we say whoa. So we want to stay out of those situations, obviously. We got to be, and that's what we've been emphasizing as well. We go back. We've had a good fall camp, and I think one of the things, I know one of the things that we've done a great job of is looking at what, we weren't good at in the past, which is, being good on first downs to start, being one of them. And we put a major emphasis on that and starting fast and being efficient on, P and 10 and first downs to stay out of those negative situations. so we don't say whoa, and we're in a position where we can be more effective.
Who are some of the key players that stand out for you on their defense? On their, there's a bunch.
Key players, I mean, they got a good team across the board. Key players for us being a running back coach, you know, we always pay attention to the backers. They got a really good linebacking crew. They've experienced guys and played a lot of football. And obviously, you know, like I was talking about the third long situation, so the two guys on the edge, you know, really good football players as well. So, you know, well-coached bunch, talented bunch. Be a great opportunity for us to go out and, you know, be the best, put our best version of ourselves out there as well.
You mentioned good players, and I'll ask you. Feldman had his freak list, and he had six of Penn State guys on there.
Yeah.
Most teams get one or two.
Right.
They had six. And I asked Jordan, and he introduced another guy, so you're up to seven now. Is there one guy on that team that you're like, wow?
Again, paying attention to guys we pay attention to. The 44, number 44, that comes off the edge on 3rd and 8. He's a blur out the edge. So we definitely want to stay out of those 3rd and long situations. And number 11 is a really good football player as well on the second level. Does a great job of, you know, avoiding blocks and plays really well, you know, downhill and sideline to sideline. Does a great job blitzing as well. So, you know.
Well, that was good. So you're up to 8 now.
Yeah. The good thing for us, man, you know, we've had playing against guys like Lee Coble every day. You know, it's a great thing for us when we're able to go, you know, and practice against the players that we got as well to give us opportunity to see that kind of speed and that kind of physicality every day.
Yeah, there's an opportunity, though. You look at it the other way. NBC's anticipating this having a huge viewership. Mm-hmm. You're in prime time. Is that something you sell to your guys? Hey, look, you're going to be playing in front of maybe the biggest crowd possibly in Penn State history.
Mm-hmm.
Eyeballs. Does that – you play that up with the guys?
No, we hadn't. We hadn't really. You know, because we've had a lot of the guys that we have right now, you know, we've been in front of that prime time. You know, last year with the opener against Pitt and then, you know, Virginia Tech openers, I mean, on Thursday night. And so a lot of guys, we've had that. More so just, you know, being great at what we've been great at. We're a great football team, too, and it's an opportunity for us to go out and, you know, and show the best version of us. But, you know, we've done a great job, particularly today, you know, putting the guys in the, you know, game-like atmosphere. You know, we stayed in the indoor today and close all the doors. I'm even here right now. I mean, it was so loud in that indoor facility. But, you know, we put those guys in that kind of environment so they kind of get his, you know, gist of what it's going to be like then. And I think we did a great job with it today. So we continue to do that.
From last year, I know your approach this camp has been to be more physical than you were last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there may have been reasons because of the numbers and whatnot.
Right.
But is there any carryover to getting prepared for a game like this right off the bat?
Yeah, I mean, it's carryover. Carryover more so like in, you know, like simulating the – I think Coach Brown's done a great job. You know, we've had scrimmages where we've scrimmaged under the lights, you know, like that kind of deal. We're putting those guys in those kind of situations and, you know, having to go throughout the entire day of, like, meetings and, you know, a little downtime, you know, so that, you know, the upcoming Saturday isn't the first time they experience waking up in the morning and doing the walkthrough and having, you know – some downtime in between time and getting back up and doing pregame meals. So we've done a great job of, you know, having simulated mock days, not just this previous Saturday, but I think two previous days prior to then, putting those guys through that particular day. So first time they do it won't be Saturday. And I think that's beneficial, particularly for these young guys. These young guys coming out of high school, even some of these you know, transfer guys, just not necessarily knowing how to go through that deal. That's something to put those guys through because they talk about it even when we do it. That it's a long day, and so we've done it a couple times now. They somewhat got used to it.
How much has the emphasis on going
fourth down
changed offensive philosophies? And what's most important about fourth down plays now?
Converting it. That's the most important part. Converting it. It has changed. You know, it has changed the offensive philosophy now. You can be more aggressive. Going forward. You know, a lot of the offense is a lot more explosive, and you got to be able to score touchdowns. And so, you know, obviously you got to convert it and, you know what to expect. And guys got to be – we always say when, you know, it's got to be scrupulous in a situational play, which is extreme attention to detail, and when talent is equal, technique wins. You're probably going to get one-on-one situation and cover one and Got to win your one-on-one battles using technique.
First down, maybe that you used to like to get 5 or 6 or 7, where you can now, you know, get 3 probably.
Now I wouldn't say with less emphasis on the first down. We still want to be effective, efficient on first down. You know, you could be more as a, you know, when you call them plays, you could be, you know, a lot more relaxed. And when it's third down, knowing that you got another play to call, typically, you know, if it's third and long, you know, ideally you like to call a pass play or, you know, a design touch play, so to speak, where you can get the ball in the hands of somebody that's dynamic with the ball in the hand underneath to get that particular first. But if you know you got 2 downs, you know, you don't have to be as aggressive. You might want to, you could probably call one of your open field run game plays, knowing that you may get, you know, 4 or 5 and comfortable with, you know, getting, you know, it being 4th and 4, 4th and 3, you know.
The defense moved into a mindset of being more physical from spring ball to fall game. It wasn't necessarily done for the offense because they wanted to make the defense better, but what has that actually done for the offense? Is that indirectly also been a blessing in disguise?
It's been huge for us, man, because, you know, defense, they're aggressive for a lot of reasons, man, mainly so that they confuse the quarterback, you know, and confused receivers, confused backs in terms of all the different combo coverages and all the different ways they can disguise and show different blitzes, you know. And so it's been beneficial for us big time because it's put our quarterbacks in stressful situations that you won't normally see until game day. That's really, like, helped those guys make decisions. And then even days where they made bad decisions, helped those guys go and watch film and learn from what they the mistakes they made and come back and bounce back. It's helped, you know, the running backs and O-line in terms of their communication, because when you get that kind of pressure and, you know, they simulating pressures, you got to be on the same page in regards to communication. So that's been very beneficial for them as well, but also for us, too, to see those game-like defenses in practice situations.
You thought your run game stepped forward. It was good last year, but is it ready to be?
I really do. I really do. I mean, I think those guys, left tackle to right tackle, is really taking ownership of just not even just their room, just his offense in terms of their entire mentality. I mean, the communication back and forth between those guys and the backs and the chemistry that they have. And, you know, I really think we've taken that next step forward simply because of the mentality and the mindset those guys have up front, from the left tackle to right tackle. And I told those guys, and I told the whole offense this, those guys are the nucleus of this offense attack. I mean, they're the most experienced group coming back. Got their starter back from left tackle to right tackle. They've had a phenomenal spring, summer, and fall camp. But I really do think, though, the chemistry between those guys and those running backs. I mean, just from an accountability standpoint, you know, it might be, you know, a running back might miss a read, and they got the respect of one another to be able to call each other out and you know, not feel any kind of way. Vice versa, if they were to miss a block. And I think that kind of relationship, man, is important, so they can all see, you know, what the running back's looking at, you know, what the O-line, who the O-line's working towards. So I think we've taken the next step in the run game because of that. And we've had situations in practice where, you know, we've said we're going to run the football. This is a period where we're just going to run the football. And, you know, great teams to me, you know, are teams that can go out and run a football when teams know you have to run the football. And thus far through our camp, we've done that.
The clock rule came into effect in week 0. I think there were fewer plays on average. Mm-hmm. Have you guys talked a lot about that amongst yourselves or amongst the guys?
We have every single day. And we've worked it every day. And one of the things that we've done to help ourselves in regards to that is hand the ball to the official. And it's a daily challenge. It's a daily challenge, particularly for the guys that catch the ball on the perimeter and even for the running backs or whoever carries the football to run the ball outside to the perimeter, to run that ball all the way back to the innermost official to try to help us play that much faster.
I was going to say, because on statistically you're looking at maybe 5 to 10 fewer plays.
Yeah, 5 to 10 more. Yeah, and that's what they're looking for. You know, so if you get the first down and you're on the sideline and you hand the ball to the sideline official, as when he tosses the ball, not even when the innermost official catches it, when he tosses it, the clock's supposed to start. So we want to try to run that ball back in and give us a slight advantage.
End of that, and I read Mike Gundy talking about this. Teams that can run the ball could be really beneficial, particularly when you get to the fourth quarter before the clock stops. Mm-hmm. You can burn off a lot of time if you're an effective run team.
Absolutely. That's a huge advantage if you're effective run team, which we expect to be.
Is that something that, though, in the back of your mind you thought about, though, that, hey, if we can do this, if we can run, this could really, really help us?
We have.
I guess, too, the depth thing, because, you know, fewer plays, it doesn't eat up your depth as much, possibly.
Right.
So this could be You see some opportunities?
I do see somebody. We had a situational scrimmage, and we emphasized that, and it was an actual situation scrimmage where we talked about the 2 minute. We did a 2 minute, and we did a 4 minute, and we emphasized that a lot. You know, if we can be effective running the football, the clock is actually helps us. It's to our advantage.
Jack, you said something about their defense that you just naturally kind of have an idea of what they might want to do and what they'll get into sometimes, but also they change a lot, and that you could see something totally new.
Right.
They may change throughout the game, so there's some jabbing going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe script isn't the right word, but you guys certainly want to orchestrate some things offensively that you do to get going.
Right.
That's kind of like a weird tango here. Just how do you prepare and navigate that, you know, between you and Sean and you and Neil, just trying to figure out that you're not getting pulled into a trap, and maybe you know that what you saw might not be there. So
right.
Let's not abandon this.
Right.
Very complicated question, but that's kind of my point here. There's a lot going on between the two booths. Against that first two series first quarter.
Right. Well, you know, between the three of us and Coach Brown and Coach Reagan, they've probably faced Coach Diaz a lot more than I have. So, you know, with the familiarity that they have with him and I have with him and all the information we got between all of us in the film and the video, even if they do something new, it won't stray off too much from, you know, what he's accustomed to doing. And the plays that we have right now, they're pretty much universal in regards to anything that they may throw at us. You know, the biggest thing is just for, you know, if we get any kind of adjustment, we got to fix it right away. But the plays that we have right now, at least in particular to start the football game, are plays that are pretty universal that are, we feel like it has a good, at least about a 90% success rate versus whatever they can throw at us from an efficiency standpoint, being able to get at least 4-plus yards.
Go in this with an idea of how much do you see, CJ, either a maximum or a minimum of what you want to snap count, touches.
Yeah, I don't really have a you know, ideally, you know, I love for him to get you know, 15 plus touches. He's gonna play. We're gonna let him roll. I mean, they're gonna roll as long as he stays fresh, you know. And he's done a good job here over the last half of the fall camp of, you know, being able to play multiple plays consecutively, particularly after running, you know, running the ball 2-3 times. So, hopefully, you know, ideally, we'd love for him to touch the ball 15-plus times.
Okay, anything else for Coach Scott? All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you all.